Thank you, Zach. Josh Gertler was scheduled to speak this morning. He has come down with the flu, the actual literal flu. He sent a text yesterday and he tested positive. I think it's for influenza B. And he sounded like it was A, B, C, and D. He did not sound good. So I'm speaking in his place this morning. And my comments this morning are going to be unusually brief. And I know some of you don't think there's a usual brief, so anything that's brief would be unusual. But I really do have just some brief remarks to make this morning. And what I want to challenge us to think about here, you see the title on the screen is Appreciating God's Blessings. Appreciating God's blessings kind of in accordance with what's important. Looking at our life and saying, what's most important, and is that what I most appreciate? And, of course, you know, as we think about that, what we're going to end up acknowledging is the most important thing is the one thing that is needful. Zach read to us that passage just a moment ago about Martha being a little bit frustrated because her sister wasn't helping her serve. And Jesus pointed out, Mary has chosen the good thing. One thing is needful. Ultimately, there's one thing that is needful that God has blessed us with. His word, life in Jesus Christ, eternal life in Jesus, because he forgives us of our sins in Jesus. But there are many things that God blesses us with, and we need to appreciate those blessings. And if we get our lives out of whack, we end up focusing on less important things and not appreciating the most important things. And that does us a disservice. So I want you to think with me this morning about your own life and just think about what is it I'm spending the most time on? What is it I'm devoting most mental energy, the most emotional energy to? What is it that concerns my waking thoughts? What is it that I'm all focused on? And then ask yourself, is that really what's all that important? I'm not asking you just to abstractly, in kind of a theoretical way, say, well, what's most important? Well, Jesus is. I'm really asking us to take a look. What is it that I treat as most important in my life? So I want to remind you of the story of David, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he tried to cover it up, and then ultimately he had Uriah murdered. And Nathan, the prophet, confronts David and says, there was this man, this poor man who had one little ewe lamb. There was this rich man who came and took the poor man's one little ewe lamb and killed it and fed it to his guest. And David is livid. He is enraged as he hears that story. And Nathan says to David, you are the man. You've taken another man's wife. And then he goes on and he says this to David. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is from 2 Samuel 12, verses 7 and 8. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. It is I who anointed you as king over Israel. And it is I who rescued you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you your master's house and put your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. We are blessed to the point that we can become distracted with a desire for relatively unimportant things, even wrong things, which was the case with David. God had tremendously blessed David. Apparently, David did not appreciate the blessings God had given him as he should have. If he had, he wouldn't have gone looking for something that was not what God wanted him to have. So we need to appreciate the things that God gives us. A man who is starving to death is not worried about very much other than getting something to eat. A man who is dying of thirst. You all have seen the old westerns, I'm sure, where you've got some guy out in the desert and the sun is beating down on him and the rattlesnakes are crawling by and he's got sand all encrusted in his hair and his eyebrows and his lips are dry and cracked. He hasn't had water in days and his tongue is all swollen up thick and can't even talk because there's no spit in his mouth, no saliva. And he's just desperate. Just all he wants is just a little bit of water. He does not care one whit about the Super Bowl. He does not care one whit about what color he's going to paint his house. He's not thinking about the next iPhone, when it's coming out, or whether he has the latest apps. All he wants is that drink of water. It's only when we have plenty to eat and drink that we start focusing on other wants. And ironically, then we end up taking the food, the drink, for granted. I've got those. Just take them for granted. And we forget to appreciate the blessing from God. So what I'm asking you to do this morning is to look at your life. Ethan talked a moment ago about our blessings. And he went through the book of Romans and just talked about the blessings we have in Christ. Think in very practical terms of the meaning of God's grace to you. Think in very practical terms of what God has blessed you with and ask yourself, do you prioritize these things in your life in a way that corresponds to the blessings that they are from God? So how do we look at our lives and decide what it is that is truly important? All kinds of concerns that come up in our lives. We have to deal with all kinds of things. We've got to pay taxes and we've got to buy food and we've got to, you know, paint the house and whatever. How do I go about deciding what is it that is really important? And the answer, of course, is let God tell us. He knows what we need, what we really, truly need. And he provides what we need if we prioritize what he says is important. Just think about that. If we prioritize what he says is important, he gives us everything we need. So listen to this passage. It's from Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 31 through 33, where Jesus says, "Do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." Seek what God wants you to seek first. Prioritize that. He'll see to it that you have what you need. Joni Mitchell was a Canadian singer. She had a hit song that she wrote and recorded in 1970. I did not remember the name of the song. I'm not sure I ever knew the name of the song until I went back and looked it up last night so that I could tell you what the name of the song was. But the name of the song was Big Yellow Taxi. Now, you may or may not remember that, but you'll remember this line from the song. The line is, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone?" Israel had a great blessing from God coming out of Egypt. They came to Mount Sinai. They were given the law. They had a promise. They're headed to a land that God promised to give them, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They traveled 11 days' journey from Mount Sinai, and they are on the threshold. They are on the threshold of this promised land flowing with milk and honey, just an expression that describes its fertility. They've been slaves in Egypt. They've come through the wilderness, not yet 40 years. We're just at the beginning of their journey, but it would have been the end of their journey if they'd put their trust in God. They're on the threshold of that promised land. And they send 12 spies in to spy out the land, and they go in and they all come back. Yes, the land is wonderful. Yes, it is very fruitful. Yes, it's great. But 10 of them are saying, "But the people are giants. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes." Those 10 are saying, "The people live in fortified cities, well-defended cities." These 10 are saying, "If we go in there, we're going to get wiped out. If we go in there, our children will be prey." That's what they said. And so God, through Moses, says, "Okay, You're not trusting me. You're not putting your trust in me to give you this. So the children that you said would become prey, they're going to be the ones who are going to inherit this land in the next generation. They'll go in and get it. But you are going to die here in the wilderness. And after Moses' words, where he explained all that to them, Numbers chapter 14, verse 39 says, "Now when Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly." Did you remember this part? "In the morning, however, they got up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, 'Here we are, we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Now we're ready. Okay, we'll do it. Now we want it now.' But they foolishly dared to go up to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp." And then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and scattered them as far as Hormah. It was too late. They had a great blessing from God. A great blessing from God. But they didn't appreciate it. And they didn't put their trust in God. And then it was too late. Think of the greatest blessings God has given you. We have young people here. We have old people. And we have middle-aged people. And I think if I just put it that way, we can all put ourselves in one of those categories. And you can put your category and yourself in whichever category you want. To our young people, what are you most focused on? What is it that you view as the big problem in your life? What is it that you... what is it that occupies your emotions, your energy? What is it that just seems like, due to the how large a place it plays in your life right now, in your mind, in your thinking, what is it that it seems most important? And what is it that is really most important? Well, obviously, in a moment, what we're going to say is what is really most important is Jesus Christ. But God has blessed you with some things that are very important to you. And one of the things he's blessed you with is your parents. Some of you have already lost a parent. But we have our parents when we're young. And do we appreciate that great blessing from God for what it is? Do we appreciate it, or do we just get frustrated by our parents? Appreciate. If you can imagine, what if tomorrow your parents were gone? What if tomorrow your parents were gone? Don't wait till it's too late to appreciate the blessing. Your brethren. Ethan took us last Sunday morning. We weren't able to meet because of the snowstorm, but Ethan taught the Sunday morning class online last week and took us through Romans 16 and took us through kind of in detail, more. I almost said ploddingly. What I meant was deliberately, deliberately through Romans 16, and that was helpful because did it strike you as we went through Romans 16? Wow, Paul really appreciates his brethren in Christ. And you read these letters, and how often Paul will start with a letter and he will say, "I thank God for you in my every prayer," or "I make remembrance of you in my every prayer." And then you think about the Christians in the first century, and you think about how they would sell their possessions to provide for one another. You think about how close they were to one another. You think about the Apostle Paul and who he was, and he was this rising star as a young man who's given letters from the highest official in Judaism to go into other countries. That's who he was before he became a Christian. After he's a Christian, he and Barnabas travel to Antioch, long way, from Jerusalem, long way from Tarsus, where Paul grew up. And he goes into the synagogue, and they look at these two, and they say, do you have something to speak? Now, maybe that was not all that unusual, but Paul seemed to get treated with deference on many occasions when he would be arrested, and they would treat him as not just some regular prisoner. I keep teasing Aaron. We've been having a Bible class on Friday nights. And we, every time we come to one of these passages where Paul is a prisoner on a ship and the captain of the ship who's taking him as a prisoner to Rome makes port and says, Paul, go ahead. You can go in and spend some time visiting with your friends in the city. And I just keep asking Aaron, when you get arrested, do they let you go in and visit your friends? And this has become a little thing because it happens so frequently as you go through the life of Paul. He's on the ship. He's a prisoner. And he's the one who's saying, we should not leave this port. We need to stay here. On that occasion, they didn't listen to him. But then when the storm kicks in, then he says, I told you so. And you know what? They start listening to him. This Paul is somebody. And yet you look at what's important to him. And what's important to him is his brethren. What is important to him is not his status in society as a highly educated man whom even the Romans regard as impressive, though they have him in custody, though they've arrested him. So how important are your brethren to you? Think about what God has blessed you with, and one of the great blessings he's blessed you with is your brethren. We have one another. And we need to prioritize our relationships with one another. And partly we do that in our coming together as we have this morning, but throughout the week, your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Do you appreciate the great blessing that God has given you? What if your husband or your wife were gone tomorrow? You know, in each of these things, whether it's our parents or our brethren or our husband or our wife, in each of these things, we can say, boy, there are things I wish were different about my parents. Boy, I wish there were things that were different about my husband. I wish my wife would. We can do that. But, you know, some of my brethren are really weird. You know, some of my brethren, I just can't understand why, you know. But it's a great blessing. And let's not take it for granted. And if we don't take it for granted, then we'll see the blessing that it is from God. And most especially, one thing is needful. One thing. Of all the blessings that God has given us, none compares with the fact that as we go through this life, we're going to face trials. We sang the song a few moments ago, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and I can't quote the words, but it talked about the things that we face into life, the nearer waters roll. So you think about the fact that you're on this sea and it's tossing and the near waters are rolling and fearful and fearsome. And yet, because we have that blessing of eternal life, forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in Jesus Christ, that carries us through everything. That is the one thing that is most important of all. Practically speaking in our lives, practically speaking in your life, the choices that you make, the focus of your mind, does it reflect the importance of that blessing? Does it reflect that you appreciate how great that blessing is? Let's do that. If I take him for granted, if I neglect him, there will come a day when I won't have him and it will be too late. And like the Israelites, I may stand in the day of judgment and I may say, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm ready to serve God. Now I get it. I want it now. And it will be too late. Let's appreciate the blessings God has given us by ordering our lives in the order that the importance of those blessings would suggest. Let's stand and sing a song.